नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष श्रीमद्वाणी पाश्चात्य श्री प्रभुपाद हरे कृष्ण सो आई एम वेरी हैप्पी टू बी हियर टुडे Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to be with you and speak about Krishna, speak about Vaishnava etiquette. Who is a Vaishnava? Vaishnava is the one who has accepted Vishnu as his Lord and Master. Vaishnav is a person who has surrendered himself to Krishna and accepted Krishna as his life and soul. In simple words, a Vaishnav is a servant of Krishna or Vishnu. Although generally the word Vaishnava indicates that he is a follower or surrendered soul to Vishnu, but Vishnu and Krishna is the same. So the servants of Krishna, devotees of Krishna are also known to be Vaishnavas. But then also there is a consideration of different levels of Vaishnavas. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned that those who are the worshippers of Vishnu, they are known as Vaishnavas. Those who are the worshippers of Krishna, they are known as Karshnavas. Karshnavas. But those who are the worshippers of Srimati Radharani, they are known as Gauriyas. So in ISKCON, what is our identity? We are Gauriyas. That means we are the worshippers of Srimati Radharani. She is our everything. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta or Saraswati Thakur also mentioned in one occasion that we accept Krishna, we surrender to Krishna, we love Krishna because Krishna is dear to Radharani. Our relation to Krishna is through Radharani. And that's why our prayer is Hare Krishna, first Radharani, then Krishna. Not Krishna, then Radharani. Radharani, then Krishna. We love Krishna because Radharani loves Krishna. And when Radharani gets upset with Krishna, then we don't like it. We get angry with Krishna. Why is he doing this to her? That is the mood of the Gaudiyas. That's the mood of the devotees, of ISKCON followers, of Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, Vaishnav etiquette. Etiquette means way of conducting, or the behavior. The Sanskrit word for this Vaishnav etiquette is Vaishnav Sadachar, which means the way a Vaishnav acts, the exemplary actions of a Vaishnav, exemplary behavior of a Vaishnav is the Vaishnav etiquette. What is Vaishnav etiquette? The way a Vaishnav behaves. And how does a Vaishnav behave? In order to understand that, we have to understand who is a Vaishnav. Vaishnav is a person who has become a servant of Krishna. And servitor to Krishna is the identity of a living entity. Jiver Swarup, what is the identity of a living entity? Krishna Nityadash. He is the eternal servant of Krishna. That is the identity of a pure soul. When a living entity is a servant of Krishna, when a living entity serves Krishna, he is in his constitutional position. When a living entity stops to serve Krishna, he becomes impure, he becomes contaminated, and he falls down to this material nature. Now, we have fallen into this material nature because we have stopped to serve Krishna. Why you stop to serve Krishna? Because we turn away from Krishna. If we are looking towards Krishna, then we would have been serving Krishna. There was no other way. But the moment we looked away from Krishna, we looked at the material nature, Maya. And this material nature is inferior energy of Krishna, and we are coming from the superior energy of Krishna, superior nature of Krishna. So qualitatively we are superior, and Maya, material nature, is inferior. So when a superior comes across an inferior, what happens? He develops a tendency to lord over. Isn't the natural tendency of the superior to lord over the inferior? So, now this tendency to lord over is opposed to our actual nature, actual identity. What is the identity of a living entity? He's a servant. Our actual identity is that we are servants of Krishna. But now, instead of becoming a servant, we are trying to become a master, the Lord. Now that is the covering of false ego. That gives us the covering of false ego. False ego means false, wrong. Wrong ego identity. Wrong identity, mistaken identity. We are not masters, we are servants, but here, we are trying to lord over. And as a result of that, we became entangled in the material nature. The covering, the first covering falsely. Then with your intelligence, we are thinking how we are going to enjoy this material nature. Second covering of intelligence. Then through the mind, the consciousness is constantly flowing towards the material direction. So in this way, with mind, intelligence and false ego, we get our first covering, subtle body. We develop a subtle body, which is actually, this body is a bondage. This body is what is tying us down to this material nature. Two types of material bodies. The first one is subtle body and then the gross body. According to the subtle body, nature is giving us a gross body. So this is how we have stopped to become, or this is how we lost our purity. Our contamination is our tendency to lord over this material nature. So Vaishnava is one who is situated in his real identity. Now he has become a servant of Krishna. Of course, this has two stages. One is sadhana bhakti and the other is prema bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is the practicing stage and prema bhakti is the perfecting stage. We are practicing to become a servant. For so many lifetimes we are trying to become a master. Now, for a change, we are trying to become a servant. So initially we have to practice. We forgot how to become a servant of Krishna. So now we are practicing. That is sadhana bhakti. But by practicing this sadhana bhakti, we will achieve the perfection, siddhi. Siddha sarup. We will become situated in our perfected identity as a servant of Krishna. So, in order to become a Vaishnava, we have to act like a Vaishnava. So that is Vaishnava Samaja. So that also, first is in the practicing stage, and then is the perfective stage. In the perfective stage, whatever a Vaishnava does is Vaishnava. Whatever he does, because his action is perfect. This perfection is not something that has been achieved by practice. This perfect stage is naturally evolved into his actual identity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatana Goswami to write Hari Bhakti Vilas. Scripture, how to practice Hari Bhakti. So that book is actually the perfect foundation of Vaishnava etiquette. It's huge, very big. It's about this big and this thick. Has about 2,000 pages, 150 pages at least, giving all the different activities that a Vaishnava should practice. But generally, we selected some important parts from that. But even then, in 1987, we established an institution in Vrindavan called, Institute of Vrindavan called VIAG, Vrindavan Institution for Higher Education. And there I gave a course on Vaishnava etiquette. And that course lasted for 1 month, the entire month of Kartik. And so in 3 consecutive years we gave a course in Vaishnava etiquette, month long course. And devotees used to come from all over the world. Therefore, we can see, if we can consider, first of all, Hari Bhakti Vilas is a huge voluminous scripture. When we spoke about Vaishnava etiquette, it was 1 month that it took us to properly discuss about Vaishnava etiquette. And I'm wondering how much can I say in half an hour. But still, I'll try. As I said, like, the Vaishnava's behavior is actually Vaishnava. Pure devotee's behavior is Vaishnava etiquette, the way he behaves. And we can see that his behavior is perfect. At least I can say that personally I have seen such a Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada. And whatever he did was perfect. Perfect. When he spoke, his speeches were perfect. When he wrote, you have seen his writing was perfect. When he cooked, his cooking was perfect. When he chastised, his chastisement was perfect. And Prabhupada used to say that, first of all, a Vaishnava is a gentleman. Vaishnava is a gentleman. Because his action is so exemplary. He never does anything that is inappropriate or improper. His actions are very, very exemplary. So that is one practical example that I had the good fortune of witnessing, Srila Prabhupada. And in this way we can see how all the other Vaishnavas must have been. Like, we can imagine Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Baladev Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan. They all must have been, from our imagination we can see that they must have been perfect in their behavior. And of all the qualities of a Vaishnava, what is most important? Trinadopi Suni Chena, Tarori Vashakishuna. Is more humble than a blade of grass. So that is the first qualification of a Vaishnava. But Prabhupada pointed out also that this humiliation, humility of a Vaishnava is not artificial, it's natural. This humility is natural in which way? That everything he judges, everything he considers in relation to Krishna. Therefore, he is humble in front of Krishna and his devotee, but that doesn't mean that he is humble to everybody. Like, we can see Arjuna with a fire. When he was dealing with a non-devotee, it was like a fire. Another example is Hanuman. Like a fire. Ambarish Maharaj. Like, these are the examples of Vaishnava. But of course, those days there was a need for becoming fiery. But in this age of Kali, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set a very nice example that we should be humble. Because the whole atmosphere is so volatile. That if we get fiery, then we may get burnt out. Therefore, in this age, there's no need for fire. There's plenty of fire outside. In this age, what you need is fire extinguishers. So, in today's world, the Vaishnavas are setting the real mood of peace and prosperity. That is what is important. Anyway, that's the basic mood, but there are certain actions that a Vaishnava, like if we consider the dharma part of it, there is dharma is standing on truthfulness in this age. So just dharma is standing only on one leg. Which is that leg of dharma? Truthfulness. And cleanliness, a Vaishnava is very clean, both externally and internally. And generally, the Vaishnava culture is the real Vedic culture. Vedic culture is very pure. Like we have seen how Prabhupada established that standard of cleanliness in ISKCON. Like in the West, generally people take bath once in a week. And that also, not everybody. Those who are clean, they take bath once in a week. But Prabhupada went to America and he set the standard, taking bath every morning. And Prabhupada inspired the devotees to take bath twice a day. So that's one of the aspects of cleanliness. People did not know in the West, like often devotees say, that like anyhow unclean their habits were. They don't use water, they use toilet paper. So that shows that the standard of cleanliness. And Prabhupada set the standard that whenever one goes to toilet, he should take a bath. These are some basic things that Prabhupada taught the devotees. Cleanliness. Wash your hands before you eat. Not only hands and feet as well. And also, after you have eaten, then again, you wash your hands and feet. Before eating, our hands should be clean. Isn't it common sense? Like I was seeing the other day, the certain basic instructions that are given to the stewardesses in the airlines. It was Emirates Airlines, I was looking at it. One of the instructions is, wash hands before serving. The stewardesses have been instructed, wash hands before serving. So we can see, like, it's natural consideration that before we eat, that's why in India, it's a very healthy habit that we eat with our hands. In the West, they don't eat with their hands. They eat with knives and forks. Chopsticks. But the healthy habit is use your hands. Krishna has given a natural spoon and fork in this with his five fingers. So why not use them? Another thing is, it's better to use hands because digestion actually begins with the touch of the food. When you touch the food with your hand, you feel it. You see, digestion is actually a matter of accepting the food and making it become a part of your body. We eat food to make it a part of our body. So the process of eating should begin with, of course, cooking. But after that, when it comes to eating, it's better to touch with our hands, put the thing in the mouth with our hand, and so forth. And then comes the consideration of after eating the food, the hands now have become dirty. So one has to wash. These are the simple things, you know, that Prabhupada introduced, which were unknown to the, I mean, at least not only to the Western world. In India also we are forgetting that culture, because we are imitating the West so blindly that we are like, in India also people don't use, many houses don't use water, they use toilet paper. They don't take bath after using the toilet, and so forth. But Prabhupada is introducing, but these are simple considerations, but they're so important. These are the part of the Vaishnava etiquette. And like after passing stool, one must take bath, and after urinating, one must wash himself, hands, feet, also. Like that, these are the simple considerations about cleanliness. Then, taking bath in the morning. Prabhupada mentioned once that I had the good fortune of hearing that if you even sleep for more than 2 hours, then you should take a bath. When you, if it's a short nap, then it's all right. But if you're sleeping for more than 2 hours, go, take your bath. The good thing about that is that bath wakes you up. Bathing is a very good exercise. Because it normalizes the blood circulation in the body. Just taking bath. Therefore the Vedic culture is to take bath as many times as possible, at least 3 times a day. Morning, noon, evening. And and I tell you, Prabhupada was so practical. You know, I used to cook for Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada gave me a very simple standard, or very simple way of keeping the kitchen clean. You know what was Prabhupada's instruction on that? That as soon as you have used the pot, just wash it immediately. Otherwise what happens? The whole kitchen becomes filled with unclean utensils, and some poor brahmachari has to go and clean it. But this way, it takes only a few minutes. While you're cooking, just go clean it up and keep it there. So the kitchen will always remain clean. Whenever you drop something, don't leave it there. Pick it up and throw it in the waste bin. Clean the room at least once a day in the morning, if possible twice a day, morning and evening. Take a wet piece of cloth and just, or first, if it is dirty, first sweep it and then rub it with a, mop it with a wet piece of cloth. In the villages, people maintain that same standard. In India, in the villages of India, they not only clean them, they use cow dung. And that actually sanctifies that, sanctifies the whole room in that way. So cow dung is such an important thing for us. Prabhupada pointed out that even clinically it has been proven that cow dung is one of the best antiseptics. So, in this way Prabhupada was very emphatic about cleanliness. Very emphatic about cleanliness. Then another very important aspect of Vaishnava culture is relationship. How we deal with each other. That's very important, especially in a large community like ours. Like when there are so many people that we have to deal with, then it's very important that our dealings with each other is exemplary. And in that respect, the Vaishnava consideration is, there are three considerations of relationship. Senior to junior, junior to senior, and among equals. These are the three considerations. The senior, from senior, affection should flow to the juniors. Affection should flow from senior to junior. Like we can see, parents to the children, a mother to the child, teacher to the student, like senior members of the family to the junior members of the family, like elder brother to younger brother. Spiritual master to disciple. And then junior to senior, affection should flow like water goes down. From senior, the affection should go down to the junior. And respect should rise from junior to senior. This is how the relationship is established. Junior must respect the senior. And senior must offer their affection to the junior. It's natural tendency of the heart actually. When we are in our proper state of consciousness, it will naturally happen. Like, just let us consider the mother. How does the mother feel towards the child? She doesn't have to cultivate this tendency. Naturally her love, her affection flows for the child. Naturally, the affection flows to the child. And receiving that love, the child's respect for the mother automatically develops. So this is how the relationship should be between junior and senior. On the other hand, if the seniors demand, oh, why they are not respecting me? The immediate consideration should be, is your affection flowing towards them? Is your genuine love for them, is there for them? Then we can consider why they are behaving. Then we won't consider actually, why they are not respecting me. Like, does the father ever think, why my son is not respecting me? Whichever way the son behaves, the father knows that he is my son. And so the onus is on the senior. We have to recognize that the onus is on the senior. And then naturally, the respect for the junior will be there. There is a saying that you cannot demand respect. You have to command it. That means you have to genuinely earn it. You behave in such a way that their respect for you will automatically become manifest. So this is very, very important in our especially in a spiritual community like ISKCON. Our relationship is very, very important. And junior between senior and junior. And another consideration is among the equals. What should be there? Among the equals there should be friendship. Now all these relationships are actually based on genuine feelings of the heart, which is love. Of course, we know that love is exclusively reserved for Krishna. Love is for Krishna. But it is the love for Krishna will be reflected on different parts and parcels of Krishna in this world. From junior to senior affection, junior to senior respect, from senior to junior affection and friendship among the equals. So this is the most important consideration, because ultimately what is the community of Vaishnava? Vaishnava community again has only three considerations. Guru, disciple, peers. Maybe she doesn't know how to switch it off. So, this is a community of guru disciples. Senior the guru and junior the disciple. It's not only that the Diksha gurus are the only gurus. No, our whole community is a society of, it's a community of guru disciples. Senior the gurus and junior the disciples. That's how we have to look at each other. And those who are equal, they are our friends, they are peers. We are serving a mission of Srila Prabhupada with a genuine concern for the welfare of this world. That should be our main concern. That should be the main consideration. And the very basis, the very foundation will be love. Recently I had a very wonderful realization. Recently I was in Bombay and I was attending Radhanath Maharaj's Vyas Puja celebration. And his father, his brother and his old friend, childhood friend, were also present in that meeting, in that festival. And his brother Larry was offering his, reading out his, or making his offering. And he was expressing like how touched, how moved he is, or how at the same time how proud he is that his brother has created such an influence among, like, there were about 6,000-7,000 people attending the festival. And naturally as a brother, I mean, he was extremely impressed. Who will not be, I mean, seeing such an accomplishment of his brother? And when he was making that offering, I was thinking at the back of my mind, like, what do we feel that kind of pride for our godbrother's achievements? And I was thinking that that should be like our, I mean, devotee world should be much more appreciative than the karmi world. That is, their relationship is a physical relationship. Still it is so strong. So how strong should be our relationship, the spiritual relationship? That material relationship will last only for one lifetime. Like, after we leave this body, those relationships will be gone. But our spiritual relationships are there forever. So how strong our relationship should be. And we see that. Like, when Srinivas Acharya left this planet, the way Narottam Das Thakur felt, they were such good friends, they're so intimate friends, that after he got the news that Srinivas Acharya left his body, he felt, now there is no need for me to continue to live. That was his mood. Let me just enter into fire and give up my life. So with that kind of genuine love and affection, we should create our relationships in this community of devotees. It's very, very important. Then only we can appreciate that this is a spiritual organization. Prabhupada used to say that spiritual means personal, material means impersonal. Material is impersonal, spiritual is personal. We are a person, so let us develop a personal relationship among ourselves. And what is the basis of that relationship? Love. And that is how we are going to conquer this world. Not with some strategy and political moves or expert management that we are going to conquer this world. If Krishna consciousness movement is here to conquer this world, then that is how this world is going to be conquered. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. What's so special about Mahaprabhu's appearance? Mahaprabhu came with love. Why he is Mahavadanya? He is Mahavadanya, he is so munificent because he just came to distribute love. That is a specialty in this incarnation, in this appearance. In other incarnations, he takes up weapons to kill the demons. Why does the Lord come? Paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya chadushitam. And by doing that, he dharma sthapanarthaya, he establishes dharma. Krishna's purpose of coming to this world is simply that. Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha duskritam. Now, vinashaya cha duskritam, annihilate the demons. How does he do that? He does that with his weapon. Astra. In this incarnation also he came with astra. Sanga panga astra parshadam. He came with his astra. But what is astra in this age? Not mess, dis, bows and arrows and sword and so forth. In this incarnation he came with a very special weapon. What is that weapon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Love. Yes, Harinam. Harinam is actually synonymous to love. Love. With the love, he is actually conquering the demons in this age. In other ages, he killed Jagai Madhai. I'm sorry, Ravan Kumbhakarna. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Shishupal Dantavakya. But in this incarnation, his loving embrace just transformed him completely. That is the specialty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as his followers, what we are supposed to do? As his followers, we also have to follow his footsteps. Our genuine concern for the suffering conditioned souls is going to motivate us to give this Krishna prayer to them. So these are the few aspects of Vaishnava etiquette that you should very carefully consider. And ultimately I think the whole thing depends upon these two factors. Cleanliness, because ultimately we have to clean our soul. All the problems are due to the impurities of the soul, the contaminations of the soul. So clean it. And how we deal with each other, that these are the two most important aspects of Vaishnava etiquette. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Mother Pia. Why do we clean our feet? Yeah, because that's the thing, that's the part of the body that gets most dirty. Right? And of course, another thing is that cleaning your feet helps your digestion. Putting water on your foot, it also helps your digestion. So everything is very scientific in Krishna consciousness. And it's a part of cleanliness. Better still is to take a bath before taking prasad. But after taking prasad, bath is not recommended. You know why? For digestion. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes. If it would be nice if you can write the question in a piece of paper.
You started by saying we are worshippers of Radharani.
Yeah.
I always been of the understanding that it is the Krishna whom we are worshippers of. But what I'm asking for is more clarity on this thing.
Yeah. You see, generally, the understanding is love for Krishna. But when you go closer to Krishna, and you come across Radharani, then you can't help but becoming her servant. Right? And that's why the thing is, when you realize that she is so merciful, and Krishna is so inaccessible. It's impossible to approach Krishna. And Radharani's mercy is just flowing abundantly. So when you see that, then what should be your intelligent approach? Krishna is impossible to approach And she is just showering her mercy. So he said, I'll take the easier way. So that's why our tendency is to just approach Srimati Radharani. Another consideration is that we are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So when we approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are we approaching? We are not approaching Krishna, we are approaching Radharani. On the, yeah, sure. Yeah. Good question. How do we maintain our humbleness in an irritating situation? By being heavy. Like if the thing is, say if the situation is disturbing, creating disturbance, as you said, irritating situation, then try to rectify the situation. Not that, you know, we remain humble at that time. Oh, I should. Like for example, generally at the beginning of the class, we make an announcement. Please switch off your mobile phone. It's not a very humble request. And then when the mobile rings, you do tend to remind me, look, you have been told to switch off the mobile or put the mobile in the silent mode. Why are you not doing that? So sometimes, you know, like corrections are necessary. And if it creates some sort of irritation, it's understandable. After all, as I said, like we are very practical. Devotees are very practical. And our humble consideration, our humble disposition is in relation to Krishna and Krishna consciousness. When Krishna consciousness is being affected, then the humble disposition is naturally to become concerned about rectifying that situation. That is a genuine humble. Thank you. Okay. Yes. A question from Ankit from Indore. What's the difference between Vaishnav and Karshner? As it has been mentioned, that the worshippers of Vishnu, grammatically called Vaishnava. The word Vaishnava means worshippers of Vishnu. Worshippers of Krishna, grammatically, is called Karshna. Worshippers of Krishna are Karshnas. In that respect, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out that the worshippers of Vishnu are known as Vaishnavas, worshippers of Krishna are known as Karshnas, and the worshippers of Srimati Radharani are known as Gauriyas. So we are Gauriya Vaishnavas. So which means that we are the followers, we are the worshippers of Srimati Radharani. And we just mentioned why we are worshippers of Srimati Radharani. Because when we get closer to Radha Krishna, then we see that Krishna is impossible to approach. Whereas Radharani is showering her abundant mercy. Therefore, it's a natural consideration, okay, let me approach Krishna through Srimati Radharani. And another consideration is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, when we are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are actually following Srimati Radharani. So it's the same consideration. I mean, she is asking the question on the point that I made, that how can we maintain that feeling of pride when we see that some other Vaishnavas are achieving something very wonderful? You see, in simple words, these are the tendencies of envy. When you become envious, then you cannot appreciate others. Rather, we become envious. We think, why him? Now, let us consider what is the opposite to envy. Opposite to envy is love. When you love somebody, then we become proud and delighted with the achievements of others because of our love for that person. Because of the love for that person, he becomes part of me. So, we become proud of that person's achievement. So the material tendencies of envy should be conquered with developing our love for others. Okay, the question is from Nakul from Ujjain. Like, as you said, material is impersonal and spiritual is personal. He wants me to elaborate on that. So, you see, matter is inert. Right? Matter is inert. Matter doesn't have consciousness. Therefore, the more we go towards matter, we lose our consciousness. On the other hand, the more we approach the spirit, we become more and more conscious. So, more and more conscious we become, you know, more our dealings with each other becomes steeped with emotions and other qualities and attributes of consciousness. So that's why it makes it personal. Like more conscious, say for example, more conscious you are, more love you have in you, in simple words. More love means more consciousness. More consciousness means more love in the heart. Like, can an animal love somebody as a man can? Can an animal love somebody as a man can? Can a tree love somebody as an animal can? Now, from this we can see the difference between finer feelings of emotion in relation to consciousness. So these emotions actually make our dealings personal. So that's why the more we approach the spiritual reality, the more we become situated in our spiritual identity, more conscious we become, therefore more personal becomes our dealing. Does it answer your question, Naku? Anyway, give them to me. Oh, there are more questions online. Should we take the online questions first? Okay. One online, one written. Give it to me. I can read out so that everybody can. Okay, this question is from Swadhyaya Das. Who is Swadhyaya Das? Okay. Dear Maharaj, please clarify how to behave when there are differences between Vaishnavas. You mean you as a third party, like, or you and other Vaishnavas? Well, which one? And both cases. Okay. If you are a party in that conflict, then try to take a humble position. Tolerate. Because if you tolerate, then other person will also cool down. But if you get into loggerheads, then there will be conflict. So better to avoid conflict. Take a humble position. And when you see two Vaishnavas are fighting, then don't side with any one of them. Just stay alone. With the understanding, we don't know why they are fighting. Let them fight. I mean, that is their business. This is a Vaishnava's pastimes. Don't get involved. That is what Sanatana Goswami, Arivakta Vilas is saying. That when you see that two senior Vaishnavas are fighting, stay away from it. Don't side with them. Internet question? Yeah. Which actually means how to maintain a proper Vaishnava attitude. So for that, it's important that you remain in association of good devotees. So this is the... So remain in the association of good devotees. Because the association of good devotees will give you the right impetus. And read Prabhupada's books. So these are the two very, very important considerations in this respect. When you send a question, you write the name also. So I'll just ask you who wrote that question. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam. How can we increase our love and attachment for Srimati Radharani? Whose question is this? Okay. How can we increase our love and attachment to Srimati Radharani? How can one develop one's love for anybody? Can you tell me? By appreciating that person's quality. Krishna is all attractive. Why? Because of his qualities, six qualities. He is the most beautiful. He is the most powerful. He is the most wealthy. And so forth. So that's why he naturally becomes attractive. You see, love is a product of attraction. A love develops out of attraction. We become attracted to somebody and that attraction generates love from the heart. So now, in order to develop our love and attachment to Srimati Radharani, we have to become aware of her qualities. Now, how do you get to know about Radharani's qualities? From Prabhupada's books and from the association of devotees, when you hear them speak about Radharani, then you develop your attachment to her. Okay? Thank you. Okay. The thing is that qualitatively we are one with Krishna, but quantitatively not. Quantitatively we are minute and Krishna is absolute. So that's why the capacity differs. Krishna creates the material world and you create a little toy and play with it. That's the difference. You are also creating. Or at the most you are creating your own baby through your wife. That is the extent of your creation. But Krishna's creation cannot be matched by anybody else. Because of the difference of quality, ability. At the most, a man can create a machine, but Krishna creates the entire material world. Because Krishna's capacity is far greater than ours. I can hear you. Because it's very easier, I can speak it on the microphone. Maybe it would be nice also if you have another microphone. Is there another microphone? Yeah. So you can use that one when you are reading the question. Hare Krishna Maharaj Ji, hum kis tarah se bahar office mein humble rah sakte hain? Kyunki kabhi kabhi bhautiktavadi log हमारे हम्बलनेस का फायदा उठाते हैं तो इस सिचुएशन में हमें क्या करना चाहिए. ये सिचुएशन हम्बल रहने का एक सुंदर सुजग था, सोचकर थोड़ा और हम्बल हो जाना. मैं जैसे बोला द वे आई से, like if you get into loggerheads, if you get into a clash, then it will breed more conflict. So better to avoid the conflict. If somebody is taking advantage of you, ये प्रश्न किसका था? आपका था. समझे हैं? अगर कोई आपको humbleness का फायदा उठाना चाहते हैं, तो या तो आप उससे दूर रह सकते हैं, ना तो उसके पास और भी हम्बल हो जाइए ताकि वो फायदा उठाना बंद कर देंगे.
हरे कृष्ण, दिस क्वेश्चन इज फ्रॉम रत्ना राजवत फ्रॉम उज्जैन. हरे कृष्ण गुरु महाराज, जनरल प्रणाम. माय क्वेश्चन इज दैट इन मटेरियल वर्ल्ड एवरीथिंग इज पेरिशेबल, सो द रिलेशनशिप बिटवीन द डिवोटीज is also perishable or eternal.
Very good. Yes, in the material nature all relationships are perishable because those relationships are based on the body, material body. So when the body is finished, the relationships are finished. But the devotee's relationships are not based on the body. devotees' relationships are based on Krishna. And because Krishna is eternal, those relationships are also eternal. Okay, Ratna? Rudrakshi. Sometimes, when being humble, people exploit us. How can we manage the situation? I just answered that question. Does it clarify your question? You know, like, you can act in two ways. If that situation becomes unbearable, avoid that person. Right? But if you're strong enough, then face it. That person is trying to take advantage of you. You know, like, remain humble. But remain firm at the same time. Don't let him take undue advantage of you. But don't get into a conflict. Better to avoid than getting into conflict. Because once you get into conflict, it will simply end. You know, lead to an endless fight, which is not desirable. It's a waste of time.
Maharaj, this question is from Ashok Sahu again, from Sikandarabad. He's asking, can one see the spiritual world and its dealings of spiritual world while living here?
Yes, you can come to ISKCON and see how the devotees are dealing. Yes, Ashok, come to the temple, stay with the devotees, and you will see. Because Srila Prabhupada created ISKCON to bring the spiritual world down to this material nature so that people can get an experience what the spiritual world is like. My point is, yes, when you deal with the Vaishnavas, when you see how the Vaishnavas are dealing with each other, how the Vaishnavas are dealing with others. From that you will understand what the spiritual world is like. It may not be as perfect as the spiritual world, but at least this will give you a semblance of the spiritual world. Again, no name. Major part of the day, one is engaged materialistically. Major part of the day, one is among materialistic people. What is to be done in order to achieve peace? Because it also spoils habit. What to do, you see, better to avoid materialistic association. If you want to make spiritual advancement, it is better to avoid materialistic association. But due to the force of circumstances, if you cannot, this is your question? Yeah, due to the force of circumstances, if you cannot, then as they say, try to make the best out of a bad bargain. See how to remain unaffected by that association. Again, association of be in the association of devotees. Like, if you are in the during the day, if you are in the association of those materialistic people, then at least in the evening, come to the temple and associate with the devotees. And you will see that all the bitterness of that materialistic association will be washed away. And then in the morning come again to the temple and associate with the devotees. And this way you become strong enough to deal with that adverse situation.
This question is from Jatinder, Punjab. His question is, how we get to know that Maya has attacked us? Krishna is Paramatman, we are Atma only.
How do you get to know that Maya has attacked us? Maya's attack leads us to materialistic attachment. That is the attack of Maya. Maya attacks, we become attached to material things. So yes, we are minute and Krishna is absolute. Therefore, it is always better to depend upon Krishna, to avoid that attack or to conquer that attack of Maya. Is all right, Jitendra? Yes, okay, no, I know. But I'm just... There are quite a few questions, yes? Well, no name again. Okay, you can identify. Maharaj, you explained about why we should eat with hand or take a bath after 2 hours of sleep. The reasons are so logical and scientific. Maharaj, you once had made a statement about how religion to begin with is science and how it becomes a political convenience with time. Could you please repeat that statement? That's your question. Yeah. So the first part of the thing was you are saying that the explanation was scientific. And the second part of the question is that once I stated something about how religion... what I actually mentioned at that time about religion turning into politics and so forth was actually a statement by Will Durant, an American philosopher. He mentioned that a religion remains a religion for first few years. Then it becomes a philosophy. Then it becomes a political convenience. And then it becomes a mere ritual. But the science part of it was actually Prabhupada. Prabhupada actually pointed out that religion actually is a science. Religion is not just a faith or philosophy. Religion is not just faith. It's a science. Like, what is science? Science is a systematic study of a subject. Systematic means experimentally verified. Experimentally verified fact. When some facts can be verified through experiments, that is science, isn't it? Like, two atoms of hydrogen and one atom of oxygen together makes water. Now, it could have been a hypothesis, right? But in the laboratory it can be proven. You electrolyze through the electrolysis. The water is one part is oxygen and two parts hydrogen. So it's an experimentally met, so therefore it is a science. Now, you know, different systematic study of different subjects are called science. That can be experimentally verified. Like for example, the study of energy is physics. Study of matter is chemistry. Study of human body is medical science, right? And so forth. Study of number is mathematics. Similarly, there is a thing called soul. There is a thing called spiritual reality. There is a personality called God. Now the systematic study of that subject, which can be experimentally verified, is religion. Actual religion is the scientific study or the scientific understanding of the spiritual reality, which includes the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is what is religion, not some faith. I belong to this faith, therefore this is my religion. No. And unless and until this is taken as a science, studied as a science, the religions will simply continue to create disturbance in this world. Just consider, so much damage has been done in the name of religion. Why? You know, because it was not scientifically understood. Does it answer your question? Some more questions? How many? How many? Four. And five from here. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam to you, Lord Sri. Question. Maharaj, how should we understand behaving or having relationship with all non-devotees, persons who are not in Krishna conscious community? Good question. Whose question is this one? Okay, very good. You see, non-devotees fall in two categories. You can classify the non-devotees in two categories. One who are prepared to listen to you. They are not devotees, but they are prepared to listen to you. Or those are offensive to Krishna. Isn't it? There are two types. Now those who are willing to listen to you, give them, preach to them, give them the understanding of who Krishna is. But those who are offensive to Krishna, avoid them. Okay? Avoid the offenders.
Similar question to this one. This question is from Ashok Sahu again, third question from Sikandrava. If one's wife gives unbearable pain unnecessarily, can one avoid one's wife, or how to deal with her? If she always tries to pull the husband away from Krishna consciousness.
Okay. In Vedic culture, there is no concept of divorce. Once you are married, you are stuck forever. Therefore, think twice before getting married. Because once you are married, there is no question of separation. Tolerate. You have to tolerate. Even if she gives you pain, you have to tolerate. Tolerate and educate her also, like preach to her. Preach to her. But no divorce. Oh yeah. Jayant Patel. Is it true that one can achieve pure consciousness after giving up everything material? Is it or if it, okay, if it can't be possible what is activity? Normal activity, while following normal activity. Okay, I'll read it again. Is it true that one can achieve pure consciousness after giving up everything? Okay, after giving up everything material. If it can't be possible while normal activities, while involved in normal activities. You see, first of all, you cannot achieve pure consciousness just by giving up material activities. To begin with, you can't give up material activities. Right? You have to have the spiritual activities to give up material activities. Therefore, only by getting involved in spiritual activities that you can give up material activities. And then only you can develop your consciousness. Now, what is the meaning of spiritual activities? You see, a living entity is active. A living entity cannot be inactive. Consciousness is active. And a living entity is conscious. So he is active. He is always desiring. And he is trying to fulfill his desires. So that is naturally leading him to activity. So you have to be active. But if you are active in the material side, you are in trouble. That means you are inviting suffering. Therefore, engage your activities in serving Krishna. And by serving Krishna, you get such a wonderful taste that you will naturally give up the materialistic activities. So now, as you say, being involved in normal activities, whether it's possible. Yes, let those normal activities be for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. Then those activities will be the cause of your liberation from material bondage. Yeah? Thank you, Jayant. Hare Krishna.
Next question from Vishwajit from Pune. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Sometimes we have hot dealings with devotees.
But sometimes
we have hot dealings with devotees. But we want to come to the normal relationship, but the other devotees is not ready. So in this situation, what should be done?
Well, you are trying to have a nice, favorable relationship with somebody else. But if he is not responding, then all you can do is try, but if it doesn't work, then what can be done? Like that, then better maintain a distance. Avoid. Not avoid, but maintain a distance from him. So that is that is the best way to deal with that situation. Like, you know, we cannot have a favorable relationship with everybody. But if somebody is impossible to deal with, then better to maintain a distance. Varun Mishra. Thank you. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dhanavad Pranam. I was listening from a devotee while book distribution. He passed from a butcher shop and then tried to preach at that shop. Some person working in the shop purchased one Gita and asked question that he spent his whole life cutting animals. Now he is not in a position to leave this occupation also. So whether he should leave this or should continue with his occupation with participating in Krishna movement. Question: does occupation really matter for taking to Krishna consciousness? Yeah. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharaj. Yes, Varun. There you are. Yeah. So, you see, when we get to know that something is wrong, then it is better not to indulge in those wrong activities anymore. As long as we did not know, that is all right. But now that he got to know, after reading Bhagavad Gita or talking to the devotee, that what he had been doing for so many years was wrong, then he should give it up. And then by being engaged in Krishna consciousness, he will become purified. Okay? Like say for example, many of us did so many wrong things in the past. And as long as we did not know anything better, that was all right. But after coming into Krishna consciousness, reading proper schools, when we got to know, then what did we do? We gave up those wrong actions, right? And trying to improve ourselves. Okay? Any other? Yeah.
We have very few similar questions from online. One is Vijay Nimai Das. He is asking, Hare Krishna Maharaj, why devotees will fight? And similar question from Ashok Sahu. Sometimes I see some non-devotees are more mature in personal dealings than devotees. How can this be?
How can we?
How can this be?
How can this be? Well, the non-devotees may have good qualities and so forth, but because they have not taken to Krishna consciousness or they have not accepted Krishna, those good qualities are of no valid or genuine significance. Because, like for example, Prabhupada gave the example of zeros. All these qualities are like many zeros. They don't have any value. But when you put Krishna, just one, on the left hand side of all those zeros, then what will happen? Then all these zeros will become so many. So materialistic people may have many qualities, but because they don't have that one, all those qualities are of no value. They're zeros. Whereas a devotee, even if he is not very qualified, but because he has accepted Krishna, his life has become. Alright? Arti Handa. Hare Krishna. Dear Maharaj, humble obeisances. Love is cultivated for some particular devotee, or comes spontaneous because of some eternal relationship with the devotee. Okay, the first consideration is that love is for Krishna. There is a two different considerations, love and lust, pain and calm. Chaitanya Charitamrita is describing that the desire to gratify our senses is called lust. And the desire to gratify Krishna's senses, give pleasure to Krishna's senses, is love. So although they may appear to be alike, but they are two opposites. Like sunrise and sunset. One is brilliant as the sun. Love is brilliant as the sun. And lust is deepest darkness. Right? So in this way we have to understand the difference. So the point is, love is for Krishna. And to the devotees, those love for Krishna is reflected on the devotees in different relationships that are mentioned. So because Krishna is in the center, these relationships become meaningful. Now as you are asking whether it is due to past relationship or so forth, my answer will be it's because of Krishna. If it's a relationship between devotees, then we have to understand it is not a karmic thing, it's nothing, it's because of Krishna. Meaning, because of two persons' love for Krishna that brought them together. Okay. Does it answer your question, Ari? Well, that is up to you to figure out. Cultivate, when it is not there, then it needs to be cultivated. But when it is there, then it is spontaneous. Right? That's the difference between cultivating. Practicing stage is cultivation stage. Right? And the spontaneous stage, that when the feeling of the heart is flowing, then that is spontaneous. Yeah, okay. Gaurav's Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj standpoint, how should a Vaishnava look at competition in office, as it is a place of cutthroat competition where everyone wants success at any cost? Good question. You see, that competition probably becomes a necessity. Survive for the sake of survival. Yeah. And since it is in the outer world, in the material world, you know, where you cannot really apply your Krishna consciousness, then become a cutthroat. Don't cut their throats, so. But try to win. Because, you see, an example can be the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna didn't want to fight, but it was forced upon him by the Kauravas. And when he fought, he was like a lion. His business was to just wipe them out completely. So the point is, you see, devotees are not a bunch of dodos. Devotees, if necessary, can become like lions. Although by nature, they are very gentle and polite and humble. But if necessary, they can become like lions. And especially when they are dealing with the non-devotees in an undesirable situation. Alright? Because it's a world of competition, and to survive, you have to, like for example, when you study, you're competing, you know, to get ahead. Right? At that time, let them get the best result, and I will become the last one. No, when you are there in that field, try to be the best. As an administrator, how can one be humble? Because action lena zaruri hota hai. If not, they will spoil the system. What should be done? K.K. Agarwal? Okay. Yes, when you are in management, when you are leading, when you are getting things done, then you can't afford to be humble, because you have to get it done. So for the sake of your master, especially when you are doing things for Krishna, then yes, you have to be strong, you have to be strict, right? And call a state, because your business is to correct them and get things done properly. There's a last question. Let me see. Dasarathi Prashad Das. Hare Krishna and Dandavat Pranam Maharaj. As you say, love of living entity is exclusively reserved for Lord Krishna. When we love Krishna, it is pure. And when we love our children, wife, it is contaminated. My question is, how can we dovetail those contaminated love to pure Krishna's love? Yeah. You see, living entity loves Krishna, right? And one, the devotees love Krishna, and then he sees all the living entities as Krishna's parts and parcels. So if you love Krishna, then what will be your attitude towards the parts and parcels, especially those who are engaged in serving Krishna? You develop your love for them also. So the point is, that love that is centered around Krishna, then that is pure also. As I mentioned earlier, love for Krishna is reflected onto others in the form of friendship, in the form of compassion, especially the devotees. You love Krishna, the devotee loves Krishna. Then what should be your natural tendency? The natural tendency should be to develop friendship or a favorable relationship to others. Does it answer your question? Okay, still no
question. I have the questions from Sanchari, from Ljubljana. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. How one should tackle the guilt if one realizes all his mistakes, and
how
one should tackle the guilt if one realizes all his mistakes and wants to correct them and grow sincerely in Krishna consciousness depending on mercy.
Yes. You see, the feeling of guilt is good, but don't dwell in it. Recognize your mistake. You're feeling guilty because you have done something wrong. So rectify that mistake and carry on with your life. Don't dwell in your guilt feeling. As Bhakti Vinod Thakur mentioned, forget the past that sleeps and never future dream at all. Live with the time that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. Forget the past, not dream about the future, but live with the time that are with you, the present. Try to make the present the best possible way. Build your present in the best possible way. And that is the real progress. Progress we shall call.
This question is from Indrajit Ahuja from Mumbai. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. My question is, for achieving cleanliness, one has to defeat laziness. How can one defeat laziness?
By being active to clean. To become clean, you have to become active. Then become active. Then the laziness will go away. Anyway, just don't be lazy, because being lazy is not good. If you realize that you are being lazy, do you think it is right to be lazy? If you don't think it's not right to be lazy, then don't be lazy. Become active.
Tribhang Mohan Das is asking the question, how to avoid finding faults with management?
How to avoid finding faults with management? Good point. Recognize that they are your senior and it's not your business to find them. Your business is to follow them. But if you feel that the management is going terribly wrong, and it may happen, we don't have to be naive in that case. But in that case, report to the higher authority. In ISKCON there is always a higher authority, or even mainly in a spiritual community, you'll always find a higher authority. So you report to the higher authority. But don't take law in your hands.
Mahatma Devi Dashi, she's from Alachua. She's saying, we are very grateful to Maharaj for such noble series of lectures. Could you please direct us where to listen again? She mentioned this morning you do
directors too.
Directors, where to listen to you again?
Listen to me again. Okay. Tomorrow I'm leaving for Australia, and tomorrow I'll arrive on the 20th. There'll be a series of lectures in Brisbane and then in Sydney, and they'll also be telecasted. But there's a big time difference between Australia and Alachua. It's just 13, or now there is 14 hours time difference. So anyway, you stay in touch with this year's... Okay, Facebook will announce my activity. So the time will be... given in the Facebook or BCS Ishta Goshti. So you can check either of these two. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, all glory is to Srila Prabhupada. Go Premanande. So it has become quite late. So thank you all very much, and I'll see you again soon. Thank you.
Hare Krishna everyone, thank you very much for coming this evening. There is prasadam, prasadam will be served in here, so please sit down in line for prasadam. And please note that there's also one class tomorrow morning. Guru Maharaj will be giving a class tomorrow morning before he leaves. It will be at 7:30 a.m. at the home of Radhasham Prabhu. That's V29/17 DLF Phase 3. That's V29/17 DLF Phase 3. If you need directions, please come and ask Radhasham Prabhu. At 7:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, a class on Srimad Bhagavatam by Guru Maharaj. Thank you. If you want to stay in touch with Guru Maharaj and know his whereabouts, his activities, please follow the Facebook page Bhakti Charu Swami. That's the Facebook page Bhakti Charu Swami. Or you can join Guru Maharaj's mailing list, that is known as BCS Ishtagoshi, and that's on Google Groups. So if you go into Google Groups and you search for BCS Ishtagoshi, you can request to join that mailing list. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. सभी के लिए सूचना है कि महाराज की एक क्लास कल से बहुत भागवतम क्लास महाराज सुबह 7:30 बजे लेंगे राधेश्याम प्रभु जी के घर में V29/17 राधेश्याम प्रभु के घर में DLF Phase 3 अभी सभी भक्तों के लिए प्रसाद की व्यवस्था है तो सभी से अनुरोध है कि प्रसाद पाके जाए आप लोगों ने काफ़ी देर तपस्या की है भूख लगे होगी तो प्रसाद और उसके बाद में हरे कृष्ण
Prabhuji.